Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Set up in 1996 as a state agency to seize the ill-gotten gains resulting from crime, the Criminal Assets Bureau is one of the undeniable success stories of Irish law enforcement, having taken almost 200 million away from organised crime. Now, to get some insights into the effect that CAB has had on the criminal landscape in this country over the past 25 years, I'm joined now by Detective Chief Superintendent Michael Gubbins, head of the Criminal Assets Bureau. Michael, good morning and welcome.
Morning, Pat. Thank you.
It is a fantastic success story, but it was born out of tragedy, really.
Yes, if you remember at the time in 1996, there was two very serious murders. All murders are serious, with Detective Garda Gerry McCabe and the journalist Veronica Gearn.
So you had two affronts to the state.
Absolutely.
To the media, the reporting, and to the enforcement of the state.
Of the state itself. And at that time, there was criminals who were basically putting two fingers up to the state, to you and I, and to everybody else, in the manner in which they lived and showed off, I suppose, their proceeds of crime at the time was the way they lived, the lifestyle that they led.
So it was an affront to people to see these guys who sometimes they were on social welfare, but they certainly had no visible means of support, and they were driving the best cars, wearing the fanciest of watches, and people just said, this is not acceptable to us.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's what I suppose our targets do in the Criminal Assets Bureau. They flaunt and display their proceeds of crime. Everybody knows the lifestyle that they lead is not possible from a legitimate source of income. It comes from their life of crime.
Now, tell me about the early successes of the operation with the CAB as we came to know it.
So early on, it targeted, I suppose, people that would have been known to the state and to individuals in relation to people that were involved in the drugs trade. And to this day, the majority of targets that the Criminal Assets Bureau target are those engaged in the drugs trade. We also have those involved in burglary, money laundering and theft. But primarily, the majority of our targets are those engaged in the drug trafficking trade.
Now, at what level do you target these people? Because we all read about in our newspapers about the guys at the top. But then there are people that we never hear about who are, if you like, lower level distributors, but who still drive the fast cars, who still have lovely houses, who bring their wives, girlfriends on lavish holidays to exotic places.
So the Criminal Assets Bureau, it tackles criminals and criminal organisations of all sizes throughout the whole country. So it's not just the big organisations that people might be familiar with, and it's not Dublin-centric, it's throughout the country. Last year in 2020, the Criminal Assets Bureau took 31 new proceeds of crime cases to the High Court. Of that, a quarter of those were for against targets and assets of a value of more than 5 and less than 25,000. Just shows our remit that we're not just concentrating on the bigger criminals, but also those in the local communities who are engaged in crime.
Because that's where the affront takes place, when you've got hardworking people and they're looking at these guys making a very obvious living from crime and not facing the music, because often it's very hard to apprehend them in the business of actually selling the stuff, but their lifestyle tells the story, so you have a go at them.
Absolutely, and it's across every community throughout the country. And I suppose that's one of our calls, we call them good citizens reports, is to ask the community to make a report to the Criminal Assets Bureau about people in their community who are living off the proceeds of crime. And they can contact us at info@cab.ie or 01666 3266. Their reports are anonymous. They don't have to go to court. They don't have to make a statement. And we will then see if that person is suitable to become a target of the Criminal Assets Bureau. And we do appreciate those reports to the Criminal Assets Bureau, because they do assist us in our work. But again, it's going into the community. Who better to know the people that are wrong in the community and what they're at than those that live within the communities.
So how many people of interest are you targeting at this moment?
So currently we've 1,851
1,851 targets.
Correct, yes.
My goodness. And as you say, it could be as little as $5,000, it could be $25,000, it could be $100,000, it could be $1,000,000.
It could be millions, yes. And across, a variety of asset types. It could be cash, watches, jewellery, cars, property. And then when we look at them as well, we also identified their lifestyle, which helps us make a case because these people will, they might go on numerous holidays. And again, it's all outside their possible legitimate income. And yeah, it's not just once a year, it's not just twice a year. They could be going abroad with themselves and their families and their friends.
Is that sufficient for the courts that you can demonstrate that people are living beyond their means?
So there's two important parts to the work of the Criminal Assets Bureau. One, we've got to show criminality. So there's no point saying, well, Pat Kenny has loads of assets and we think he's a criminal. We've got to show you've got criminality,
yeah,
and how you use that then to fund the purchase of the assets. Somebody could have lots of assets, but we need the criminality. The two have to go together. Yeah.
Now, you've brought in some booty today. You haven't brought in any of the fast cars. I don't know how you arrived here, but there's BMWs and Audis and more.
Across the whole array of, brands and models of cars, we do see a lot of Audis, BMW, Mercedes. They're new cars. Every time we do a search, we use Twitter and Facebook to promote the actions of the Criminal Assets Bureau to let the community know that we were in an area and what we did and what we found. And that's really important. And then that encourages people to come forward with more reports to us about good citizens' reports in their community.
Now, some young people are very impressed by the lifestyle of these people involved in the drugs trade. I mean, you brought in a couple of watches there. What are those watches worth?
So I have here two Rolex watches. One is a gents watch and it's worth €35,000. And then I have a lady's watch, which is 10,000. It's worth 10,000 euro. But in addition, it has an additional 10,000 euros worth of embellishment done after the sale. I suppose the important thing to remark here is these are the proceeds of crime.
Yeah.
These were bought by criminals who engaged in criminality. There's victims. You know, there's fear, intimidation, addiction and violence. That was all used to buy these. So I show you what they've bought. But please remember,
so this is what they can afford to do based on the lifestyle that they've constructed for themselves.
Absolutely.
You've got a handbag there.
So I have a number of handbags here and I'll just go through two of them. The first one here is a Chanel handbag and that's worth in the region of €4,400. So again, as you can see,
so you can't afford one of those on social welfare.
Absolutely not. No. And again, here we have an Hermes bag and it's worth in the region of €6,000. So again, these guys didn't, as I said, they flaunt and display their wealth. They know their brands and this is the high quality product that they go to. So we seize these off them. We go through the proceedings and then we're able to auction these a subsequent date after the case is finalised.
OK, in terms of property, and we will be talking to Paul Williams later on about John Gilligan and Jessbrook and so on. That kind of process that takes years and years to try and target someone like Gilligan, that must be very frustrating because for much of his time, if not all of his time, he was being paid for, his legal battles being paid for by the state on the basis that he had free legal aid.
So on the back of that, there was free legal aid given to Mr. Gilligan, which allowed him to make all these various actions in the High Court and even as far as Europe. All those have been finalised. But oddly enough, through all those actions, it has reinforced the legislation that supports the work of the Criminal Assets Bureau.
Now, the problem of criminals living outside the jurisdiction but plying their trade here through intermediaries, the arrival of cryptocurrencies, and I don't trust them myself, but it seems it's a potent way for money laundering to take place.
Yeah. Oddly enough, most of our criminals, they still engage in cash. It's not unusual for us to find tens of thousands of euro of cash in their house.
Wads of 50s.
Absolutely, 50s. Absolutely. And again, we showed them. We have found people who have cryptocurrency and we're going to find more of it as we move along.
Now, the foundation of the CAB involved four kind of departments. The Department of Justice, the Garda Síochána, of course, the Department of Social Protection as well. And was there...
And revenue.
So and revenue,
so
of course.
You have Garda Síochána, revenue, customs and taxes, social protection, and then the Department of Justice, under which we have our Bureau Legal Officer, IT people, our forensic accountants, analysts, and our admin team there.
Yeah.
To support all the work. But under the Act, we can use powers under the Proceeds of Crime. And those people who come from those areas bring with them their statutory powers. So that's why we can go after somebody under Proceeds of Crime, under Revenue, or under Social Welfare. I use a mixture of any of those three.
Do you have all the resources you need?
We have all the resources that we need. And we're supplemented by what are called divisional asset profilers. So we have a network of 553 asset profilers throughout the country. They're in every Garda division and district. We've some in revenue and we've some in social protection as well. And they identify people in their area who they believe could be a target of the Criminal Assets Bureau. They build a profile and they forward that to us. And then we investigate those. And if we need more assistance, we'll utilise the Divisional Asset Profiler Network to assist us in that.
The amount of money that you've deprived these people of is significant, €200 million over the period of years. At the same time, you know, they're still out there and they're still flashing the cash.
I suppose it's the perennial question for law enforcement. Whatever agency you are, there'll always be criminality. We can't let people away with it. Our job and function is to deny and deprive. And in 25 years, the Criminal Assets Bureau has denied, under the Proceeds of Crime, over €32 million, 161 in tax and over 5 in social protection.
Are there any other legal devices that would help you to do your job? For instance, you know, you think of the gangsters and their malls going into some of our high-end department stores and buying bags. And it must be obvious to them, also if they employ lawyers who get money from them, that they must be in receipt of the proceeds of crime.
It is a question that arises, and through our inquiries, we're able to work with the various stores that some of the goods are bought to identify, well, how did they finance that? I mean, was it on a credit card? Was it on cash? Sometimes they use gift cards that are loaded up before they go in. So it's not as simple as they went in with cash. There's other means that they utilise as well.
I mean, the old excuse is I won a great deal of money on the horses. That's where it came from.
That's where it came from. And again, they're investigated to the fullest, and those stories are put to bed because they just don't add. They don't add up. There's a serious amount of work done by the team and by the analysts to, I suppose, verify or to discredit those stories.
Now, the Criminal Assets Bureau has been used as a model for other jurisdictions, has it not?
It has indeed. So, I suppose I'm very privileged to be in charge of a bureau, the Criminal Assets Bureau, where people actually come and say, right, that's a very good model of how you work. And they want to take away and have a look at it. So we work with people like Interpol, Europol, the National Northern Ireland Corporation Overseas Group to share our knowledge and experience. There's a couple of secrets to the work of the Criminal Assets Bureau. And one of them is the fact that those four agencies all work together into one team. It isn't that in one team you have the guards and in the other you have it's a team made up of guards, social protection and revenue. That is really key to the success. There's no islands of information. Yeah. Everything's joined up. It's a complete state. The state is putting all its resources together on this matter.
Yeah, because in the past there would have been, if a vicious thug told a revenue person where to go, they probably, in fear, would go where they were told to go and not be in their faces anymore, literally for fear of their own lives or the lives of members of their families.
You're correct. But in support then of the people who volunteer and apply to work in the Criminal Assets Bureau, we have an anonymity that protects those. And every time a new case is taken into High Court, I apply for an anonymity for those involved in that case. So I was asked recently about it, and it's as important to have it today as it was when the cab was set up.
Yeah, because there are still very evil people out there, very vicious people.
Absolutely.
Out there.
Only this year there was somebody convicted in the district courts in relation to intimidating members of the Bureau. So it's still alive and well. But so it's really important to manage the security of the people in the Bureau.
Well, it's fascinating and really worthwhile work that you're doing. Detective Chief Superintendent Michael Gubbins, head of the Criminal Assets Bureau, thank you very much for joining us, and long may the great work continue.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.